And I think your little girl has taken an awful lot after you. With Hannah. Amen. That's a compliment, folks. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Thessalonians, would you please? Chapter number 2. Folks, I don't know how to say it any more seriously to you than I'm going to say it right now. No more than 5 years ago, we had no idea at the depth of the deception that we would witness before the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going into it. We're in it. Father, help me now as I read your word. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 1. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth they might be saved. Watch this. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Bless this holy book now. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I call your attention to verse number 3, the son of perdition. Verse number 8, that wicked be revealed. Verse 9, Satan with all of his power and signs and lying wonders. No chapter in the Bible has more of a context as it relates to deception as 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Now you've watched unfold before your very eyes. Keep your eyes on the Ukraine tonight and upon the Crimea, which is a peninsula that goes down below. It borders the Black Sea there. Keep your eye on that area of the world. Vladimir Putin has moved his troops into that area. He intends to take probably the Crimea, and he may even take some of the other portion of the land there. And don't tell him how much he's going to take. We have no idea. But in the book of Daniel, it's very clear that the Antichrist has an enemy, and he's the king of the north. And this king of the north plagues him all through his reign of terror on this earth. The Antichrist, as you and I both know, is a human being that is incarnated by Satan, by the unholy spirit. And therefore, he becomes a Superman. Every indication is that after 3.5 years that he's killed with a deadly wound to his head, and then after 3 days to mock or mimic the resurrection of Christ, he comes back to life. And in Revelation 13, it says, who can make war with the beast who had the deadly wound and lived? So after 3 days, Satan enters into him. And so this mimics the incarnation of God in Christ. Satan incarnates himself into a man. And when he does that, the Antichrist becomes a superman. Even the two witnesses in the book of Revelation, chapter number 11, that come against him for the first part of their ministry, he tries to destroy them and he cannot. because the power of God is resting upon them. But eventually he does prevail against them and slays them, and their dead bodies lie in the streets of Jerusalem for over 3 days. And then they come back to life. Now, you see the geopolitical situation that unfolds tonight. Vladimir Putin has snuffed, or what if snubbed, the President of the United States, NATO, and the rest of them, Great Britain and France. And he has moved into the Crimea. And that by doing that, he has made a clear statement. This is what I'm doing. If you're going to do anything about it, you're going to have to come in here by force and do it. So he's letting the world know he's not politically correct and he's not part of the Antichrist movement. Vladimir Putin has made it very clear that Russia is not pro-sodomy, that Russia is not part of pop culture as you know it in America and the rest of the world, that the Russian Orthodox Church today is more healthy than it ever has been. There are videos on the internet, if you want to watch them on YouTube, of Vladimir Putin going into the Russian Orthodox churches and taking communion and making a visit to Israel and going into the birthplace of Christ and all these things. His mother was a Christian. He was baptized when he was young into the Russian Orthodox Church. His father was an agnostic or an atheist. But Putin professes to be a Christian. And his position now to the world is that I'm taking the stand in a position of a Christian. And Russia is now a Christian nation. And the Russian Orthodox Church is not being persecuted like it was under Stalin and Lenin. The Russian Orthodox Church now enjoys great favor. I don't know if you've seen the photographs or not, but the Russian troops that are in the Crimea, the Russian troops that are there are with their Russian Orthodox priest. The priests are with them. So they carried the priest with them as they went into battle because they don't know that they will be in battle. So the point is that we are the last stand of Christianity on the earth, and that we're going to stand, and we are going to stand and stand according to the morals and according to the morals and according to the doctrines of Christ and His church. And the West is a decadent hellhole. Now, Iran has been preaching that for years. Iran has said publicly that America is the great Satan, and that Israel is Satan and America is the great Satan. And one of the reasons that they preach that is because, of course, they're Muslim, but one of the reasons they preach that is because of the decadent culture that we live in. And folks, if you're looking for someone in here tonight to be an apologetic for American culture, you found the wrong man. I preach against it every time I get in this pulpit. I preach against the immoral, godless, decadent society that we live in. And if you are just a nominal Christian, just nominal, then you should say amen. That doesn't mean that I'm up here tonight to give you a blanket support for Vladimir Putin. I'm not telling you I support him. I'm trying to give you a perspective that this man has. He believes God is on his side. This is a nation that's killed 60 million babies. And the Olympics, instead of our president going over there representing the United States, supporting our athletes. And this is nothing against the athletes, because many of those athletes are hard working, sacrificial. I mean, good night, folks. You've got to work hard to get to the point they're at. And many of them are Christian, good, fine young people. But instead of going over there and representing America with our Olympic group, he sends a bunch of sodomites and lesbians. And why did he do that? He did that because Vladimir Putin had said what he had said about sodomy. He had said before the Olympics, we don't want sodomy in this country. We don't want men holding hands. If we find that, we're going to arrest you. And then he backed a little bit off of it and said, well, we don't want you messing with our children. Now, any Christian would have to be sympathetic to that if that's truly his faith and his belief. You know. But in any event, I want to move on past Putin. I've got a whole lot of ground to cover, and I can't stay with him long. But the bottom line is that The president of Russia is making a statement to the world, not only in the sense that he is openly opposing America and NATO, but he's taking the high moral ground. And you're going to hear a lot out of him about that. And of course, when you take the high moral ground, you're justifying what you do and you're trying to garner support. And no doubt about it, the people down in Uganda support his position on sodomy. The people in a lot of places around the world support his position on sodomy. It's still against the law, probably in every Muslim country when it has to do with Islam. And a lot of these African nations, it's against the law to practice sodomy. And on and on and on it goes. So the Antichrist, when he does come to power, will have an enemy. And that enemy, from the way it looks, is going to be Russia. It's going to be Russia. And Russia is going to be a thorn in his side for the whole 7 years of his time as the Antichrist. We didn't get here overnight. In 1947, a pilot, single-engine pilot, flying, saw a saucer flying in the sky. He described it to the news media as a saucer. And there, the term flying saucer was born. From that moment on, it was a flying saucer. Before that, it was called UFO. But from that moment on, it was called a flying saucer. Now, what I'm going to be covering tonight is a small part of what we're talking about in Sunday school. In Sunday school, we have a much broader spectrum. I invite you to come to Sunday school. We'll put the past and the future together. But when this man saw that, what happened in 1947, 2 years after the end of World War II, and right before Israel was made a nation, May the 14th, 1948, right before that, he saw the flying saucer. A lot of people have done extensive research into this and have discovered that flying saucers have a tendency to make a lot of appearances around about a important event happening on Earth. It's an amazing coincidence. There are no coincidences. But when he saw that, it opened up an investigation. Roswell, New Mexico, a flying saucer or an alien or some kind of a UFO crashed, and they had an alien body, they say. And there's a museum out there, and a lot of people became dedicated to the flying saucer UFO mystery. Let me say to you tonight that I absolutely, completely, without a shadow of a doubt, believe that UFOs are real. But I do not for 1 minute believe they are what the common press say they are. I do not believe for 1 minute that the common perception of what a UFO is has anything to do with the truth. I wish when I was a boy, because I listen, folks, I listen. And when I was a kid and coming up through high school, I listened to all the evolutionary garbage and bought it. I also listened to all the UFO stuff and bought into it. I believe that there were a little being green men or something living off on out here in the universe somewhere on a foreign planet or what have you. I believed all that stuff. And can you imagine what that did to my faith? I thought Christ and the Bible and all of this was a joke. And I would have told you so. That, of course, affected the way I lived. Because I had rejected the Bible, I had rejected Christ, I had rejected all of that. To me, it's just a bunch of junk. I didn't believe a bit of it. It's just a bunch of religious tradition. That's all it was. Why? Because I bought into evolution and I bought into UFOs. I bought into science fiction. I bought into all of it. Believed it, embraced it, accepted it, and it wreaked havoc with what I believed. I wish someone had been able to stand up and give me a message back then like I'm going to give you tonight. I wish someone had been able to deal with these issues, but nobody could. Nobody could. You mention a dinosaur to most Christians and they get upset and start running as if that's going to disprove the Bible. There's nothing about a dinosaur that you should be afraid of. Absolutely nothing. There is absolutely nothing about science that any Christian should be bothered with whatsoever. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said, don't be bothered with science falsely so-called. Dinosaurs have their place. But we're not into dinosaurs tonight. We're going to talk about UFOs. UFOs are real. They exist. In the 50s, these UFOs began to communicate with people. They began to talk to them. They began to abduct them, talk to them, communicate with them through a lot of different ways. They said back then that they were from Mars and from Venus. But since they discovered that Mars and Venus are hostile to supporting life as they profess to be, like a humanoid type life, then 50 years later, they're saying now they're from Zeta Reticula, which is 39 light years away, or other galaxies like Andromeda, which is 2.5 million light years away. They accommodate science and accommodate what people know. But the bottom line is that their message changes. But the most important thing about UFOs tonight is the fact that they have a message. They've got something they're telling people. And you should be interested in that. I wish somebody told me that when I was a kid. Nobody ever said a word to me when I was a kid about the fact that UFOs communicated a message. But they have a message to give out to people. For example, they want you to be greater. They want you to have greater self-awareness. They want you to have a greater sense of cosmic citizenship. They're into the social transformation in human consciousness. And they are definitely the ones laying the groundwork for the New Age movement. The Age of Aquarius, that group called Hair, back in the when, late 50s, early 60s, came out with a song about the Age of Aquarius. Aliens are prepping people to accept the merging of politics, religion, and money into a New Age system. They're preparing people and the way people think. Not all, Brad Steiger in a book he titled Channeling Reports. That's not all, he says. He goes into an entity who called himself Ox Ho and declared that he had come from a galaxy very near our own to help the people on Earth. He said, people on Earth, open your doors to our help, for you need it desperately. Remember that we are always on the alert, and we are now holding off and fighting any enemies from lesser evolved planets. Join our confederation and be one with the Creator. This is Brad Steiger in the Aquarian Revelations. If you in Sunday school remember, I told you how that all of this started back with Plato, when Plato began to teach about this demiurge and about this light and this cosmic consciousness. And you see now how that what Plato was teaching 500 years before Christ almost, that here we have these UFOs giving out the same message to people today. Doesn't it make you wonder the source of all of this? It's certainly not God. A UFO moved in the sky to Bethlehem, that said. Then it placed itself by a star in the sky, and a UFO helped to part the Red Sea by lasers, they say. The UFOs were working for God. These UFOs provided the manna from heaven. And they're saying, no, I'm not saying that God did not do this, but God worked through the UFOs to produce this. Also, God used a laser to write these things on the tablet, the commandment. These UFOs parted the Jordan River. This is from Bonnie Meyer in Alien Contact, the messages they bring. So they've interjected themselves into the Bible. And what you read in Scripture, these UFOs, these people, these things on these UFOs are going into the Bible and explaining the Scripture to the people. Don't you think that's quite remarkable that a UFO creature is interested in what the Bible says? That would have fired my imagination like you wouldn't believe. When I was 17 years old, if I'd heard something like that, I'd have thought, now why would they want to go into the Bible? If they're so vastly superior to us, and we are this lower evolved being, and they're coming from somewhere vast off in some vast space of the universe, what's the Bible got to do with anything? And when they start appealing to the Bible, I say to myself, hold on. The Bible's got some authority here, or they wouldn't be trying to change it. And the Bible has all kinds of authority. That's why they want to change it. I know people don't ever read it anymore, but the Bible is one powerful book. They like to say this, not all stories in your Bible are correct or accurate because your Bible is not 100% correct. I would say basically another 6% was eliminated because it talked about reincarnation and UFOs, which took power away from the church. Bonnie Meyer, Alien Contact. So they are casting doubt on the veracity of Scripture. Why would they do that? Why would a little green man from 1,000 million light years off somewhere out there where Lord only knows what, why would he be interested in causing you not to believe the Bible? Do you know why? Because the Bible is your only hope in this hour right now before the great deception falls down on mankind, and it's right on the verge of coming down. And when it comes, it's going to spring forth just like that. It's going to come all of a sudden. It's all been building up to this point. But now, somewhere in the next few days, few weeks, few months, few years, the Lord's the only one that knows when, but this thing is going to bust loose. And when it busts loose, you know what it's going to do? It's going to find the church asleep. The church is going to be completely asleep. The prosperity preachers are going to be up there naming it, claiming it, and blabbing it, and grabbing it. That's all they know to preach. And the people are going to be comfortable in their faith, feel good about their religion, and they're patriotic and love the country, and everything's going to be hunky-dory, and on we go. And the sad thing is that Satan is about to drop a deception on us that nobody has ever seen before. And the only way you'll be clear and free of that deception is by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. He that letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. The creators, alien, scientist, also known as Elohim, therefore arranged for a child to be born of a woman of the earth and one of their own people. The child in question, Jesus Christ, would thereby inherit certain telepathic faculties which humans lack. Mary was the woman chosen. One of the creators, aliens, appeared to explain that Mary would bring forth a son of God. This is from the true face of God, a fellow who calls himself Rael. The true face of God, talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. He says of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, Jesus was scientifically revived by other aliens and taken back to the Elohim planet. He says, Jesus didn't die for the sins of the world. Yet he professes, this man, to receive his communications from these aliens. Why do they care if Jesus died for the sins of the world? Kids, think about it. Think about the fact, too, that most people are under the false impression that if a demon is involved in something, that you have to be foaming at the mouth, wild-eyed, screaming out of your head, levitating over a bed, or some wild, crazy thing. Did you know the Apostle Paul says that in the last days they'll be preaching doctrines of demons, devils? That when they're standing in the pulpit, they'll be preaching demonic doctrine? That transform themselves into a minister of righteousness, angels of light? How are you going to be protected from this stuff? How are you going to know that the true Holy Spirit is giving you the wisdom you've got and the direction you're taking in your life and leading you to the truth? How do you know? Did you know that most of the charismatics that I've ever heard that are up in the pulpits right now, guiding people in these last days, most of their great leaders have some kind of a spiritual contact with God who's talking to them all the time and telling them what to do, what to say, where to go? I'm not telling you tonight God can't talk to you. But I'm telling you right now, you better start trying the spirits. SETI stands for the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. Now, this is a scientific organization whose sole purpose is to look off into the heavens and check for ET. These people have been sponsored by NASA, National Science Foundation, Department of Energy, the U.S. Geological Survey, the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, the International Astronomical Union, the Argonne National Laboratory, and on and on and on into the companies Sun Microsystems, Hewlett-Packard Company. You get into the businesses, you get into the people that are in the business of making money, and they are in the business of supporting the knowledge of extraterrestrials. You see, some people have the idea that the only people that care anything about ET or extraterrestrials or UFOs and all that, a bunch of pot-smoking hippies sitting around a campfire somewhere and singing Kumbaya or Om or whatever else they do, And that's all they do. And I mean, that, you know, nut jobs. But the truth of the matter is, some of the smartest people in this country have their eyes focused on the heavens. For example, the new Pope, Pope Francis. Cardinal Bergoglio, the new Pope, has definitely created waves since he's gone into office. Let me say this right now, before we say another word. There are millions of Catholics, and I read what they say, folks. I don't get it third hand. I go right straight to their website and read what these Catholics have to say. And many of them are incensed with this so-called Vicar of Christ. They are enraged with this Pope. They say he is a false prophet that has no business in the seat of St. Peter. Now, you understand what the term Vicar of Christ means? It means very Son of God in flesh, a representative of God Almighty walking in flesh. One moment he's one of the cardinals. The next moment he becomes the very Vicar of Christ. Now, all you've got to do is go back and read some of your church history, and you'll find out that the Roman Catholic Church has a lot to give an account for one day as they stand in judgment before God. This song that they sang right before I get up to preach tonight, that song refers back to a time when the Roman Catholic Church was persecuting, forcing Christians to go through horrible, horrible persecutions. When they went into France in the French Revolution, the latter part of the 1700s. We had our revolution, then France had its revolution. The American Revolution turned out good because the American Revolution produced a democratic republic that has so far survived very well and done very well. But the French Revolution, entirely different thing. They brought the guillotine in when they came in with the French Revolution, and heads rolled. Apparently that's where you get the term, heads need to roll. Because when you chop a head off with a guillotine, that's what happens to it unless it falls into a basket. And one of the men who was one of the biggest movers and shakers of chopping heads off eventually wound up on the guillotine himself and had his own head cut off. The French Revolution, instead of turning to God, turned from God, and it turned it into a secular, godless state. And that's what you've got in France right now. But they overthrew the monarchy. And when they overthrew the monarchy, they went into the dungeons in France. They went into the dungeons that Voltaire knew all about when he talked about the Pope and called him your hellishness. And when they went into those dungeons in France, they found the racks and the irons, and they found the places where the Christians had been tormented and persecuted and where they had endured horrible, horrible torture at the hands of the Catholics. Now, all Catholics aren't like that, but I would just want to give you just a little bit of church history for you to understand where we're coming from. The Pope that's in office right now, Pope Francis, has said some things since he's been in office that has raised the eyebrows of a lot of people. The Vatican, as a matter of fact, has an official newspaper. It has endorsed the possibility the universe could contain intelligent life beyond Earth, while insisting aliens would be our brothers and children of God as much as human beings are. The Pope's astronomer, Jose Gabriel Funes, a Jesuit priest, told, this is Italian Observatore Romano, that there would be nothing surprising about the existence of intelligent extraterrestrials. Just as there is a multiplicity of creatures on Earth, he says, so there could be other beings created by God beyond it. And so the Roman Catholic Church, as always, is in the forefront to see to it that if anything does come out of the heavens, they will be the first to greet it, endorse it, and have authority over it. And that is quite a thing, because the Roman Catholic Church is beginning to make movement now in ways that people apparently are not very aware of. For example, the Roman Catholic Pope Francis, just recently, to a group of Pentecostal, charismatic, prosperity preachers, of whom Kenneth Copeland is the granddaddy. They viewed a video while they were gathered together. They viewed a video from this Pope. And in that video, he is encouraging them to join in with him in unity in these last days, in Christian unity. You say, well, a preacher, do you have any bone to pick with him? No. The Pope probably is a fine, outstanding man. Personally, he's probably the kind of man would give you the shirt off his back. But it's not about personalities tonight. That's not what this message is about. It's not about whether I like you, you like him, I feel good about this, I feel about this, this. That's not what it's about. If you think it's about that, your mind thinks on a very low level. It's about to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. The truth that you'll hand down to your children and your grandchildren if the Lord doesn't come back soon. The propagation and dissemination of the truth is far more important than I am. Far more important. One of the greatest foundations of the Protestant Reformation was this. You are justified by faith alone. And the Roman Catholic Council of Trent in 1546 anathematized everybody on the face of the earth that did not believe, that did believe. They anathematized them, cursed them. If you believed that you could be justified by faith alone, they cursed you. In order to be justified according to them, you must have faith and works. That's the Roman Catholic Council of Trent, 1546. But here's what he said to them. To Copeland, he said, I am nostalgic, yearning that the separation comes to an end and gives us communion. And Kenneth Copeland received him very warmly. And of course, Copeland is very persuasive. He affects people. You know, most of the people don't want to think for themselves. They want to let somebody else think for them. And one preacher called up Copeland one time and says, Brother Copeland, what do we believe about this? That's sad. I don't care what Brother Copeland believes about anything. That's not going to affect what I believe. But the bottom line is, I'm part of the party and I'm part of the game, and I'm not going to say anything that's going to rock the boat. And so in order for me to go continue on with my circle and with my influence and the group that I run with, I for sure don't want to say anything that's going to cause any problems. So what am I supposed to believe about this? That's one fine pastor, don't you think? I'm sure that he could lead his flock in the right direction. So it would be very instrumental and useful for you tonight to watch Kenneth Copeland and see which direction he takes. The charismatics that follow him, and this is nothing personal against Kenneth Copeland. I'm sure he's a fine, outstanding man. This has to do with his doctrine and his philosophy. Have you ever heard politicians, when they go toe-to-toe and eyeball-to-eyeball, for the most part, they'll always say, I have no problem with Democrat so-and-so, Republican so-and-so. I'm sure they're a fine person, a great outstanding person. This is all about policy. My disagreement with them is about policy. Well, my disagreement with him is about doctrine. That's what it's about. It's about doctrine. Now, how many of you know who Rick Warren is? He came to the forefront with his book on Purpose-Driven Church. And here's what he said about the new pope, Rick Warren. He said, I am nothing but impressed with this new pope. That's what he said, the quote. He tells this to Piers Morgan in a tonight's premier interview. This is a man who spent his life working with the poor. Well, you say, what's wrong with Pope Francis? All right, here's some of the quotes. If someone is gay and he searches for the Lord and has goodwill, who am I to judge? That's quote. Another quote. A person once asked me in a provocative manner if I approved of homosexuality. I replied with another question. Tell me, when God looks at a gay person, does he endorse the existence of this person with love or condemn and reject this person? We must always consider the person. See the evasive answer? Another quote. We cannot insist only on issues related to abortion, gay marriage, and the use of contraceptive methods. This is not possible. I have not spoken much about these things, and I was reprimanded for that. But when we speak about these issues, we have to talk about them in context. We have to find a new balance, otherwise even the moral edifice of the church is likely to fall into a house of cards, losing the freshness and fragrance of the gospel. Well, the freshness and fragrance of the gospel is that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. But of course, he does not want to deal with controversial issues unless he has a motive for it. Now, what does he say about who are going to go to heaven? Here's a quote. The Lord has redeemed all of us, with the blood of Christ, all of us, not just Catholics, everyone, even the atheist, everyone. This Pope, therefore, in his homily at Wednesday Mass in Rome, he emphasized the importance of doing good as a principle that unites all humanity and a culture of encounter to support peace. Using scripture from the Gospel of Mark, Francis explained how upset Jesus' disciples were that someone outside their group was doing good, according to a report from Vatican Radio. According to the Pope, they complain, the Pope said in his homily, because they say, if he's not one of us, he cannot do good. If he is not of our party, he cannot do good. And Jesus corrects them. Do not hinder him, he says, let him do good. The disciples, Pope Francis explains, were a little intolerant, closed off by the idea of possessing the truth, convinced that those who do not have the truth cannot do good. This was wrong. Jesus broadens the horizon, the Pope says. The root of this possibility of doing good that we all have is in creation. So in other words, he has reduced the message of Christ to do good. Do good. Even for the atheist who denies God, denies his existence, atheists should be seen as good people if they do good, Pope Francis said on Wednesday in his latest urging that people of all religions or no religion work together. So what's the driving motive of this man's life? Works, but what's his motive? What's he trying to do? What's he trying to do with religion? Unify. It won't be long. He's already said enough to convince me, but it won't be long before he spells it out for people. He's a universalist, folks. What is a universalist? A universalist is someone who believes that everybody is saved, whether they know it or not. Now, let me say this. The Bible said that in Hebrews 2, that by the grace of God, Christ should taste death for every man. But the writer of Hebrews also says this. He says that because their faith was not mixed with what they believed, with what they received, the truth, it did them no good. In plain words, you've got to receive the truth, put faith in the truth, for the truth to take hold of you and change you into a child of God. You embrace the truth. How can an atheist be saved? How can someone be saved who rejects the truth of the Word of God? But here's the greater point in all of this. Here's the greater point. And that is that the message of the ETs, the message of the UFOs, the message of the abductions is that we're all children of the conscious, of the cosmic consciousness, and that we're evolving spiritually, and they have come to help us evolve to our greater potential, and that we're all the same, and there's really no difference in any of us. And that they're going to come and in some huge cosmic moment, they're going to bring everybody together on the earth. Now, what will that moment be? Except would it not be when the revelation of the Antichrist takes place? The man of sin steps out for the whole world to see, and everybody embraces him because that's what they want to believe. And this Pope would be right at the forefront, and I do not misrepresent him. When a man says that an atheist, by doing good, can go to heaven, just like a homosexual or whatever else, by doing good, can go to heaven, and it's not our place to judge them, then you've got a man who says, I don't care what your religion is, you're going to go to heaven. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. It begs the question. It begs it. It screams it to high heaven. If you knew this man said that, and he did, folks, it's documented. And I'm telling you, the Roman Catholics themselves condemn him because he has deviated so far from the truth. If a man makes statements like that about atheism and homosexuality and all the rest of it, why would you want to associate yourself with him? Why would you want to be Rick Warren and associate yourself? Why would you want to be Kenneth Copeland and associate yourself? Knowing this, why would you do that? Let me tell you why you would do it. You would do it because deep in your heart, your worldview is you are a universalist too. And that you're just waiting for the opportunity to show your colors. And the time will come when they'll show their colors. And it's in the church house. It's in the pulpit. It's among the professing Christians. Let me say to you tonight, well, I don't know how to say it any other way. Folks, Jesus is the only way to heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only access to God. And he is not the Jesus that the extraterrestrials are preaching to people. And he's not the Jesus of most of organized religion. He's not the Jesus of so-called history and that group that meets every year and tries to find the true Christ. I forget what the Jesus seminar. He's not the Jesus of that crew. Who is he? He's the Christ of the Bible. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Either you have him in your soul and you're born of his spirit, or you're lost. You're lost and you don't know him. But they're buying into this. Now, let me tell you how people buy into it. And I'll come to a close tonight. Some folks have committed themselves before they know it. Say, what do you mean by that? If you're practicing yoga, it may start out innocently enough. It may be simply a physical thing. It may be something where your friend invites you to go have a yoga class. And so the two of you sit together and you go through your yoga experience and you feel better. You've had your physical part and you've also meditated some. And all of that, of course, goes together. All right. And your pride kicks in. And you hear a preacher get up like this and he starts talking about the fact that yoga means to be yoked. And the Hindu, the Buddhist will tell you yoga. There's no such thing as Christian yoga. Yoga is opening the door to this spirit world. Of course, to them, it's wonderful. It's great. So it becomes a spiritual thing. Why don't you hear this? You've been in yoga class. What happens? Pride kicks in. Why? Because you want to justify yourself. There's no way you want to repent for what you've been doing or pull out of it or pull away from it. Oh, no, no, no. The human response would be, well, that's your opinion. That's your interpretation. But the sad thing is it doesn't stop with yoga, dear friend. That's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. It goes much, much further than that. I'll close with a statement tonight. When our brother taught Sunday school this morning, Brother Valance, he talked about the Sodomites. Now, Sodomites in the Old Testament practiced sodomy, yes, but it was a religious thing. See, it was religious. So what do you mean? The religions were fertility religions. You can see it right now. All you got to do is go to Washington, D.C. and go to that square and you've got an obelisk standing there and you've got the White House there and you've got the Congress of the United States. That thing was laid out in the 1700s by the Masonic, by the Masons. It was laid out in the 1700s for a reason. The obelisk, anywhere it shows up, anybody that does any reading on it will find out that it's a phallic symbol. They find out that it is a vestige held over from fertility rites, that it has to do with the fertility worship, sex worship, and part of that sex worship was sodomy. Now let's put two and two together. If sodomy is so prevalent in our society today, and it's everywhere you look, it's rammed down your throat every time you turn on the TV or the radio. And now you're being demonized. First they brainwash you. Then they come out and begin to demonize and marginalize. And that's exactly what they're doing now. I got on the web yesterday and one of the local stations, WATEBIR, one of them, it had these two lesbians on their news page, on the front page, how these two lesbians are there's some kind of a bill they're trying to push through where they could, I don't know what it relates to them some way or another, but the bottom line is they're being, they're right there, they're right before your eyes. And it was in a sympathetic way. See? All right? So you are demonized if you don't endorse it. But now here's the point. When you accept sodomy, you accept the spirit of the fertility religions. If you accept the spirit of the fertility religions, you have accepted the spirit of Satan. If you accept the spirit of Satan, you will accept the spirit of Antichrist. For he is Satan incarnate in flesh. You cannot separate them. There's no way. You can plead ignorance all you please, but once you've received the Spirit, you've got the Spirit. And make no mistake about it, you will receive His mark. And if you receive His mark, that seals your doom in hell. Isn't it an amazing thing how that one thing leads to another, that leads to another, that leads to another, that leads to another, that leads to another, and on it goes. And so Vladimir Putin over there in Russia is coming out publicly stating, we don't support sodomy. United States of America, a nation of 330, 40 million strong, cutting their military, by the way. Good time to cut it when you've got Russia moving into the Ukraine. Fine time to cut it. You've got America that is coming out in support of sodomy. The Almighty looks down from heaven. I hate to make people mad tonight, but I'm going to tell you the truth. God's not an American. He's not a Frenchman. He's not a Russian. He's not. He's not an Englishman. He's not a Brit. He's not a Scot. He's not an African. He's not an Irish. What is he? He's God. He's God. He's God. I would much rather go to war with the Lord on my side than to go to war against when He's not well on my side. This little fledgling group of rebels over here went up against the mightiest army in the world. Great Britain had a navy. They had an army. They had a huge army. They had some of the finest generals in the world. These were disciplined men. Those Scottish Highlanders went into battle blowing their bagpipes, wearing their kilts, would march right into the face of those weapons. Brave men, highly trained, highly organized. Yet this little bunch of ragtag rebels beat them. Took us 8 years, but we beat them. I'm going to tell you who the we is. It's God Almighty. He planted this country where it is. It would never have defeated Great Britain. Never would have. Never would have. No way in the world would it have defeated Great Britain. God was on its side. Ask yourself a question as you leave out of here tonight. Just be honest. I'm an American. I salute the flag. I served 4 years in the military. I didn't burn my I've never seen a draft card. I never had one. I never registered for the what do they call it? Registered for the draft. When I got out of high school, I went with some of my buddies and went down here on next to Rich's down there on, what's the name of that road? Henley. I went down there on Henley, walked into the place, raised up my hand, and swore that I'd defend the Constitution of the United States, and for 4 years I did. And they ushered me in. I think I swore down there on Alcoa Highway. That's where they swore me in. Anyway, I served my country for 4 years, all right? Served it. Didn't smoke dope, didn't run off to Canada, didn't burn my draft card. I served my country. So I think I've got a right to speak up tonight. I'm a veteran. Amen. I'd be worried if I went to war right now whether God would be on my side or not. I'd really be worried. I'd really be worried. Father, in thy name we pray. To use what I've said for the glory of God. It should help somebody. Help them in Jesus' name. You tell us that our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And Father, I've given out what I can give out tonight. I pray you'd use it. Lord Jesus, for thy name we pray. Amen.